Thoughts on Micah. Micah chapter 1 verses 8 to 16. Detailed grief. The prophet now moves, God through the prophet moves, away from, as it were, general ideas about judgment to specific, particularizing of the details of the suffering that's going to come upon Judah. And it makes appalling reading. No doubt it makes appalling hearing. No doubt this is a very unpopular discourse. Why do you want to hear this detailed grief? But I think we must hear it. Of course we must hear it. I don't think it, I know it. We must hear it. And we must ask ourselves, what was it like to live through it? Martin Lloyd-Jones is very clear. We must ask questions of the Bible. What was it like to live like this? What was it like to go through this for Judah? Well, let's have a look at it. I noticed, first of all, that the prophet was affected himself, even in the preaching and the prophesying of this judgment. This is what he says. Because of this, I will weep and wail. It may be even God weeping and wailing, but certainly the prophet. Because of this, I will weep and wail. I will go about barefoot and naked. I will howl like a jackal and moan like an owl. For her wound is incurable. It has come to Judah. This man is not a professional. He's not a professional preacher. He's not dealing with it in the abstract. This man feels it. This is my people. This is my God. This is my temple, if you like. This is God's work. This is my place to live. And it's happening to me and to my people. It's not just theory, a chess piece. I'm afraid that's what it is too often with me. We can pick up the text of Scripture and move it about and argue for it and against it, this or against this view and against that view and so on. It's all in the abstract. It's all detached from us. Micah felt it. He wept. He was broken. His heart was broken over it. And he howled and mourned over it, verse 8. Why? Because of the weeping, because of the mourning, because of the pain, because the grief spreading throughout Judah. This is an afflicted people, and the wound is incurable, verse 9. For her wound is incurable. It has come to Judah, the people of God, the temple, the tribe from which Christ will be born, the nation from his people. It has reached the very gate of my people, even to Jerusalem itself, even in the temple. The idolatry is there, so the judgment is there. Tell it not in Gath. Weep not at all in Beth Ephrath, roll in the dust. Nakedness, shame, and all these places are listed. It has reached throughout the nation. And the cause? Well, that's spelled out too. Verse 13, you who live in Lachish, harness the team to the chariot. You were the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion. That's where it started, apparently. It's transgression, verse 4, for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. And verse 14, therefore you will give parting gifts to Moresheth-Gath, the town of Exib will prove deceptive to the kings of Israel. Whatever that may mean, deception, lies, incurable wickedness, sin and transgression. And the details are spelled out, verse 15. I will bring a conqueror against you who live in Moresha. He who is the glory of Israel will come to Adullam. Shave your heads in mourning for the children in whom you delight. Make yourselves as bold as the vulture, for they will go from you into exile. Exile, ruin, rubble, degradation, a conquered, defeated people. Now all this happened in history. And my friend, I repeat it because it's in God's word, is a warning to us today. Judgment, yes. People think about the world, yes, but judgment, you know, begins at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Judgment begins at the house of God. It began with Judah, as it were. It began with Israel. We're not talking about the Philistines here, or the Babylonians, or the Chaldeans, or the Egyptians. This is the people, the professing people of God. The writing is on the wall, my friend. May God give us eyes to see it.